Good morning. Today is March 21st. I want to welcome you to the first time ever Calvary Chapel online teaching. It's probably going to be a first time for us. Well, it's definitely a first time for us and probably going to be a first time for you. So we want to welcome everybody at home. Grab your families, have a seat down around the couch, and they may be shutting down the church buildings, but they're not shutting down the church. So first thing I want to do, I want to thank everybody. Thank the Saturday crew that we were in here yesterday. We assembled about 189 sack lunches that we're going to take downtown into the outreach and pass them out. We've got them all stuffed in brown paper bags, and so we put chips in there. We have treats to go along with them, and tomorrow afternoon, this afternoon, Bill's going to be up there, and he'll be passing them out and giving them to the guys. And don't worry about it; he's going to keep a maximum distance, and there won't be any touching or handing. We'll just set them out on the table. So I'm really excited about that. I really appreciate everything that everybody's done and just the stepping up and stepping out for that. So let's go ahead and get right into the message. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you right now. I ask that you would speak to us this morning, Lord, that we would hear your words, that you would be with all the technical things, that it would just bring everything together, Lord. We pray that you would just strengthen and empower your church to do your work, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So open up your Bibles, if you would, Isaiah 53. We've been going there, we've been working on that a little bit. We're focusing on the prophecies of the coming Messiah. In this chapter alone, we've discovered no less than 24 prophecies that they talk about, shining the light on 8 of them is what we're going to be doing, kind of focusing in just a little bit more on them. And as we continue, this is week 3 that we're doing this. We're going to continue with our series, Against All Odds. Fitting that it should come up at a time like this, but this is our series, Against All Odds. Things can seem challenging, things can seem tough, but that's where we're at today. So I want to ask the question, what are the odds that the prophecies that would come true, that they have come to be revealed, that they've been shown to us, not 300 or more, I'm not talking about that in the whole Bible, not even 24 that we're talking about in the book of Isaiah, I'm talking about just 8 of them. That if we focused in on 8 of them, what are the odds that that could happen? What are the odds? Let me ask you this. What are the odds that 700 years before Jesus was born, and if the Bible would proclaim, and it did, but if the Bible would proclaim that Jesus would fulfill, or the Messiah, or who they're looking for, the Messiah would fulfill these things. This is how you're going to know it's the Messiah, because these things are going to happen. What would it mean to you if that was true? How would that affect you if that was true in that? And what the odds of that, let me tell you this, the odds of that happening, just in these 8, it's a big number. It's a big, big number. And I'm going to give it to you in just a little bit, but just hang on to it. I'm going to give it to you a little bit. But first, let's look at some other truths in the book. Let's look at some other things that we can understand from that. 700 years before his coming, Isaiah 53, verse 12, it says, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. So the story of Jesus, the story of his life, you know it well. He come from a humble birth. It begins in a stable, not in a home, not in a manger even, not in a hospital, not in an inn, not in any place like that. It begins in a stable. And it was attended by shepherds, by field hands, by people like you and me, working class people. People that have jobs, that work 40 hours a week, that have a busy life. Not the upper class, not kings and queens. It was attended by field hands. And if you think about that today, when we look at today and what's going on in the world, when we see how kings arrive into the world, it wouldn't be anything like that, or presidents being elected, or leaders being chosen. I mean, we see that, we're familiar with that, and it's usually their arrival comes and it's accompanied with something like a parade, or something like music, or it's a great big celebration. It's people standing on both sides of the road, and they're excited about it, and they're cheering them on. They're elevating this person to a higher position. They're elevating this person to great authority. And in the case with Jesus, they didn't elevate him. In fact, they didn't accept him. They even rejected him. In fact, he even stepped down. That he left glory to come down here to earth. And I'll read that to you again. 700, this is 700 years before his coming. Isaiah wrote, verse 12. He says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the enemy, with many, and he shall divide that spoil with the strong." Why is that? Because he poured out his soul. What are the odds of that? That if somebody was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God over all of earth, you know, what are the odds of that he would step up for something like that? Who would aspire to that position, to step down to that lowly position? Who would aspire to that? Who would aspire to pour out your soul? You know what that means when you pour out your soul? It's just like you empty yourself of all that you have and all that you are. You just empty yourself of that, all that you are in your life. So Jesus was willingly did that. He stepped up to do that. He faithfully followed God's plan. He said, "Lord, if you can take this cup, great, but if not, I'll do it. Even unto death." So the Bible says that he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. So although he came, and he was King of Kings, he was Lord of Lords, and he came, he was just like one of us. He was like one of us in many ways. He was always fully God. He was always fully man too at the same time. He grew tired. He became thirsty when he was hot. He became hungry when he didn't eat. He was cold. He was tempted just like men and women. Because he lived as mankind. He was fully a man. In other words, it says he was numbered with the sinners. And that's what it means. He was part of us. He was with us. He wasn't up in a high castle or anything like that. He was right with us. And he died as a sinner for sinners. It says that yet that he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. Isaiah 53:6, it tells us this. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray," speaking of all of us, and it says, "all of us have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all." So it says that he bore the sins of all of us. It means he took them on his back. It means he took that burden to himself. It means he took the penalty, took on the penalty. It means he made the payment for us, a satisfactory payment, a sinless life that he lived. And because of the resurrection, because he is exalted, because he was raised up and sitting at the right hand of God right now, you and I have the opportunity to share in that same benefits, to share in the benefits with him, to be exalted with him, to be raised up with him. And because he's alive and because he lives right now, he intercedes for our benefit at this moment. So this passage, it gives us a complete picture. You know what the death of Jesus Christ accomplished on behalf of the whole world. And his death satisfied God's demandment for judgment against sin. It satisfied his righteous judgment. It provided a way for everyone to come to God in faith for salvation of sin. So when I ask you, what are the odds? When you look at that, I mean, what are the odds? 700 years before his birth, what are the odds that this would all come true? What are the odds that Isaiah would prophesy about that and the coming of the Savior, and he would show up right when they said he was, the Son of God, that he would be a humble servant, not a king and not a reigning over everybody, but a humble servant and an innocent man? What are the odds that they knew that his figure was going to be marred to where you couldn't even recognize him as a human being? That he would be dying and make payment for our sins, that he would be an intercessory before us and God, that he would speak to him, that he would be exalted as king, that he would come and be a criminal and be put on the cross. You know, what are the odds of all of that? And all this would be recorded for you and I for today. So I want to share this story with you. I shared it a couple of weeks ago. I want to share it again. It's a great story. And then we're going to close. It's just an awesome little thing right here. It's about Dr. Peter Stoner. He teaches mathematics, probabilities. He's a Bible scholar. And he set out to calculate the odds. What are the odds that he could do that? That somebody would come and fulfill 8 of those prophecies. Not all 300 in the Bible, not 24 in the book of Isaiah, but all 8 of them. You know, what are the odds of that? And he come up with this number. It's 1 with 17 zeros behind it. And the English word for that, it has an English word, is 100 quadrillion. So once again, let me give you that picture of what it looks like. It would be the same thing if you took the state of Texas, and you've probably heard this story, and you covered it 2 feet deep with silver dollars. And then I would write my name on the back of one of those silver dollars. I'd blindfold myself. I would be dropped off somewhere in the middle of Texas. I would spin around, and I had one chance and only one chance to bend over and pick up that coin and anywhere in the state of Texas. And what are the odds that I would pick up that coin that had my name on it? Well, and my friends, it's 100 quadrillion. But here's where the odds are in your favor. Isaiah 49:16, he says, "Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands." You see what that means? He's the one that's picking up the coins. He's the one that put your name on the coin. He's the one that desires you so much. He's the one that wants to save you. He's the one that wants to bring you home. And guess what? It's your choice. He's picked up that coin. It's got your name on it. Ask him to take you home. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this time together. Lord, we pray for everybody in our family that you would help us, that just keep them safe and healthy. Lord, and I pray for those that have that sickness of sin, that haven't accepted you yet, that even as we speak right now, Lord, that they would accept you, that even as we talk about this, that they would take you, Lord, that they would ask you to come into their life and accept you as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.